Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5. I've been preaching lately out of some very familiar verses, familiar stories. If you haven't heard these stories or read this before, we're glad you get to hear it today. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease they had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirs up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, "Who was cured? It is the Sabbath. Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed?" And he answered to them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed, did you know who he was? For Jesus has withdrawn, and multitudes being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes today that we might see the brightness of your light, that you might shine through us, you might give us a spiritual uplift, and lifts us above the circumstances which we're walking in this world. For that we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Pool of Bethesda. Jesus was walking by the pool. And I think as he walked by the pool, we'll walk by it ourselves. I was there in Israel many years ago and went out that gate and saw where the ruins of the pool was at. It wasn't that big of a pool. There couldn't have been that many people that could have gathered around it. And if there was, there seemed to be only one that could get in it when the angel stirred the water to be healed. And to me, I would think that would be probably the healthiest one of the bunch, because they would beat all the others in. But what this man did not understand is standing right there beside him was Jesus. So as we look into the pool and we see some reflections, let us reflect on some of these things that happen and maybe see what God wants us to do. Bethesda, the Hebrew word, means mercy. And this pool was any place but mercy. It was filled with those who were sick, those who were in misery, those who were going through trials, those who were going through heartaches. as many times a church is filled with them. See, we see the church not as it should be seen. We see the church that we may not have went to until we go through troubles. We see the church as a place that we believe might be able to help, might be able to cure, if we just wait on that one moment where God's going to move. We see the church not as a place where Jesus is at all the time. We see the church as a place that God is at some of the time. And the world sees the church the same way we see it. And I think we need to get a better view of what the church is and who God is. And I believe these folks needed to get a better look at who Jesus was. These people were stuck there looking at a pool that was filled with false hope, because it wasn't many that got their burdens lifted. Jesus came by the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years, and he asked him a question. You want to be made whole? That's like asking a sick person, do you want to remain sick? It's like going in the hospital and saying, I'd like to pray for you. Now, we won't pray that you get healed. We'll just pray that you have contentment during your sickness. But that seems to be what we as a church are content with. We're not content, and we're not looking for God to do something miraculous. We're just looking for God to maybe touch someone somewhere sometime. So we assemble by this pool every Sunday and remain stuck in the same thing that paralyzes us day in and day out, which whether it's our job, whether it's our finances, whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's a marriage problem, whether it's a child problem, whatever it might be, whether in the workplace or the group that you fellowship with. It's a place where you're miserable and you want something to happen, but you're waiting for that vision, or you're waiting for that sign. I saw a sign in front of a church the other day. If you're looking for a sign to come to church, this is it. I thought that was kind of neat. Instead of realizing that Jesus is right there with you all the time. Jesus is there to lift you above your circumstance before you call the preacher, before you call the church, before you bow your head. He is asking you to reach out to him, just as he is asking this man. Reach out to me. He said, do you want to be made whole? And the fellow answered, I thought it was an honest answer. He said, I do, but he said, there's no one to help me get into the pool. Would you mind helping me to get in the pool? Still again, he missed who Jesus was and what Jesus wanted to do in his life, as we do many times. And instead of asking Jesus what he needed to do, he asked Jesus to help him through his plan for getting well. God has a plan for you to make you well. God has a plan for you to take care of your problems. But the first thing you've got to do is you've got to understand that you need to want to be made well. Jesus isn't going to follow our plans. Jesus called us to follow his plans. He didn't come to help us do our work. He came to call us to do his work. And here's what he said. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. To me, that was the most striking passage in the entire story. What if he had said, no, Jesus, I don't know who you are for sure, and I don't trust you. I'm going to still work on getting in the pool. I'll get somebody else. I wonder when Jesus healed him. If he was healed when Jesus walked up, but he is unwilling to move. I wonder if Jesus had already done his miracle when he set his eyes on him, or if he did the miracle when he saw him in the morning when Jesus arose and he saw him sitting out there. I do know this, that God cannot lift your burden. God cannot take you out of your valley unless you're willing to get up, pick up, and get going. Here's what the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 46. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." If you're tempted, start praying. You don't have to wait till you get to church or the preacher prays for you or the Sunday school teacher teaches on that subject or you find it in the Bible. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even until the end of the world." He said, "Get up and pray." There are so many action words in the Bible. Matter of fact, whenever Jesus does anything, it requires action on your part. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible says they dropped their nets and walked off, and they followed him. They did something. What if they would have said, "We believe in you, but will you help us catch some fish?" I'll tell you something. Jesus did help them catch fish. But they followed him. They became fishers of men. And when they went fishing, Jesus said, "Y'all cast your net on the other side." God will help you if your main goal is serving God and not yourself. If your main goal is not your plan, but his plan. And Peter said unto him, "Anus, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed." And he arose immediately. Acts 9:35, "And all who lived in Lydda and Sheridan saw him and turned to the Lord." They turned. They had to do something. Isaiah 55, "Everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters." Jesus didn't say, "I'm going to bring the water to you, Matt." Doctor put me on a new pill and he said, "Your mouth may be dry." That is an understatement. I said, "I'm starting to sound like Bill Clinton when I talk." Oh, he's hoarse. And this is pretty good. But I had to go back and order it. And we got it. Matt, there's another one sitting right here. You missed. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." He didn't say, "Sit here and I'll bring people to you." He said, "Go," and they went. Revelation 22:17, "And the spirit of the bride says, come, and let him who hears say, come." We've got to go. We've got to get up and go. We've got to keep on moving. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Go into all the nations. You're not going to get in all the nations unless you start moving right now. Get on your feet and start going. Even when it comes to being saved, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." That's doing something. And when Paul got saved, the Bible says, Saul promptly began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. He went to the synagogues and he started proclaiming. He did something. And when they arrived at Salmias, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. In Acts chapter 13, verse 14, "And from Perga they traveled inland." They traveled, they moved, they were always moving. They're always doing something. Let me tell you something as I'm aging that I'm learning. The world doesn't care what you did. Your grandkids don't much care what you did. And your kids don't much care what you did. And your neighbor doesn't care what you did. And the people that you go to church with don't really care what you did. What your kids want to know is what you are doing. What your grandkids want to know is what you are doing. What the church people need to know is what you are doing. I don't want to be known for something I have done. I want to be known for something I'm doing. and you're never supposed to sit down. You'll have a whole lot of time for that later on when you enter into his rest. But until then, there is something that you can do. Oh, yeah, he's the guy that washed the windows at the church. I remember him. No, he was one of the men. He works in the kitchen. It isn't that he was an engineer or he was worked at General Motors or he was a stockbroker. What matters is what you are doing. We have this thing that we feel like we can just set back. It's not who you were, but it's who you are. It's not what you did, but what you are doing. Can you do more for the Lord today? What are you known for as your neighbor? I moved out of one house and moved into another house. I hope my neighbor from where I moved out says, you know, he was a good neighbor. That's a was. But I did move to someplace else. And I hope my neighbors say of me today, he is a good neighbor. You may be retired, but there are good things that people can say about what you are doing right now. It isn't coming by and saying, listen, I need to have my way because I built that step there at the church, or I built that altar, or I built that pulpit, or I made those cabinets. It's what you're doing right now. I had a boss that told me this back before I came here, and I made the mistake of saying this to him. He said, Bob, how you doing? And I said, well, last quarter, we beat everybody in the nation. He said, I don't care what about last quarter. I don't know what you're doing today. God's the same way. God wants to know what you're doing for him today. Oh, he's the guy that mows the grass. She's the guy that I see out there, the gal I see out there trimming. They're the one that paid for the carpet. I know what they're doing. It's all about what you're doing, never about what you've done. And from the pool to Jesus. Jesus extended his mercy by meeting the man the second time. And he met him in the right place. He met him in the temple. And here was a unique statement that Jesus said to this man, because this man may have not been a good man. He just didn't like being paralyzed. So God was the only place that he could turn. I've had people tell me this. Said, preacher, it looks like I'm dying. And the Lord will either heal me or take me. It looks like I don't have any choice but the Lord. But our choice ought to be the Lord when we're healthy and we're strong. Because we miss out on the good part of life if we don't serve him during those times. And that means when we know that Jesus is with us, then we go to the temple. And Jesus said, you're going to the temple, you're going to church. Then I want to tell you something. Stay straight. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Well, preacher, what is sin? It's a willful transgression against God. It's choosing your flesh over the Spirit of God. And I'm not going to tell you what your sin is. I have trouble enough working on mine. But I will tell you this, that the Holy Spirit of God will convict you. The Holy Spirit of God will give you a way of escape. The Holy Spirit of God will set your feet and ground you on solid rock. But Jesus had critics. They asked the man who healed you, this is a Sabbath day. Oh, they were good to know the law. Matter of fact, the law tries to put a damper on our message, and they have for my entire lifetime. They tell kids they can't pray in school, which is a lie. You can pray in school. Just bow your head. My goodness, before you shoot that basket on the basketball, pray. Before you walk up and you take that bat, pray. When you see the ball hit and it's coming your way, pray. God wants you to pray in season and out of season. He wants you to be in prayer all of the time. You can pray as much as you want, and we'd have prayer in the school if we ever had prayer in the home. really bothers me to hear people say we need to get prayer back in the school, and they have never one time prayed with their children or their grandchildren in their home. That's a hypocrite. If we started praying in the home, we could see our kids would be praying. And if you get in trouble praying in school, you call me. I will definitely come to school and get you on the news. Oh. You can pray in school. You can pray anywhere you want to in this country. You can bow your head and pray before your football team goes out on the football field. You can bow and pray before you eat. You can pray anytime and anywhere in this country. And you say, but preacher, if I'm up in front of a crowd and leading in a prayer, they don't want me to pray like that. I have been in front of a crowd and I have prayed. I went down and prayed at the Ohio State Congress just a few months ago. I remember on 9/11, the congressmen and senators gathered on the steps of the Capitol and prayed. You're not going to get in trouble for praying, but we need to do what we need to do, and we need to get to doing it right away. The Jews were fixed upon the law, and if we get fixed on the law, we will be muzzled, and we will be shut up, and we will not be able to witness. You know what Jesus did? The man came to the temple, and Jesus walked into the temple. You know, wherever the fight is about doing right, Jesus is going to show up right there beside you. I'm sure he was waiting. I think the Jews shut up when he walked in. And it also gave him confidence by saying, it was Jesus who healed me. So a few things we want to look at. Jesus is there to work his plan in your life, not your plan. He wants you to stop sinning. And he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He said, don't just come to me for healing. And I've seen this. I've seen this in hospitals where people are deathly sick. They're reaching for the Lord. They're praying. They pray. They get out of the hospital and they go back to the old life they were in before. But they're worse off now because they knew who Jesus was. Now they're doing it with no excuse. They're doing it with an experience with Jesus Christ. And they're worse than they were before. Let us stand. Some of you here today are stuck by your pool of Bethesda, waiting for mercy to move. And Jesus says, I'm right here with you right now. I will lift you above whatever circumstance you're in, but you've got to see me. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that we get up and do something. No matter our age, no matter our sickness, no matter our finances, that we're known for a person that is doing, not a person that has done. Like Caleb said, 80 years old, Lord, I want that mountain. And you gave him that mountain. Might we continue to stretch? Might we continue to work? Might we continue to give? In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.